there are many other ways we strike out at others because we've got our own issues. It makes us feel that we're still in power to some degree. Because I'm being mean to you, I'm still powerful. I'm still in control. It's a lie. You're out of control if you name Christ as Lord. Righteousness, according to John, includes love. And so he throws this in here in this verse. He says, "Then this is the children of God and the children of the devil." And then he says, "He who does not love his brother is of the devil." He just throws that right in.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of 1 John. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Today, Pastor Rick will continue his study called Righteous Distinctions as he teaches through 1 John chapter 3.
In response to their unbelief and disbelief, he says, "Behold, they have rejected the word of Yahweh. So what wisdom do they have?" And we see this, these great universities, these great schools of learning, and they produce many beneficial things for us. They offer so much, but not when it comes to God. I would like it if the law said the universities can teach all sorts of things except the word of God. And the churches teach the word of God and not try to teach what the universities are teaching. That would be separation of church and doofuses. Those who proclaim any other religion or none at all are not saved, are not children of God, as John is speaking about here. Now, I've made quite a few comments on this. This is where we'll spend the bulk of our time. But I've made enough to go back to reread the verse having made these statements. "In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother." So John says there's a distinction between those who are truly related to Jesus Christ and those who are not. To refuse Christ and condone sin and man-made religions is actually to be following Satan's plan for your life. Satan has a plan for everyone's life. It's hell. It's the same destruction that he gets. Misery loves company, you could say. Refusing Christ places a person's life under the authority of a very real Satan. You might be able to say Satan's children are universal without Christ. But why waste our time giving him publicity, giving him attention? Let's focus on the solution, Jesus. People are either with God or against him. Not difficult. You know the song. I like to quote that part enough. You got to serve somebody. It might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you've got to serve somebody. Regardless of the man who's made famous for singing and putting that song together, regardless of where he is in his personal walk with God or not, the fact remains. Willful opposition to Christ results in affiliation with the devil. He has his own fraternity. You don't have to believe it to belong. All you have to do to belong to Satan's fraternity is not accept Christ. That's all you have to do. You don't have to agree with anybody. Make up whatever you want to make up. Live however you want to live. Just don't bow down to Christ. Regardless of whatever proofs and truths are hurled your way. And those interested in the righteousness of Christ versus those disinterested are the ones that John is singling out. Peter says it this way when he starts his second letter to the persecuted church or persecuted Christians. He says, "Simon Peter, a willful servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ." So that precious faith, is it those who are children of the devil, to them the faith is not precious. To those of us who are trying to do righteousness, practice righteousness, it is because Christ is precious to us. If a person is trying to do righteous works, but Christ is not precious to them, their works will achieve nothing for them in the eyes of God. Because God says, all your righteousness is like filthy rags compared to the standard of purity that I am all about. And if you want to spend an eternity in my kingdom, in my house, you're going to have to be cleansed from your sin, and it will not happen against your will. But if you think you're too smart for it, then you miss out. And many think they're too smart. They think they've achieved your knowledge. You know that knowledge is everything. The love of learning opens the gateway to knowledge. That's true, but it does not open by itself the gates of heaven. For that you need the blood of the Lamb. He says here in verse 10, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. To practice is to develop. It is a willful act. Someone who does not like to play the piano and is learning the piano does not accidentally practice. They're almost forced to practice, for example. To not practice is to not care, to not have a serious desire. And in this case, a serious desire for God. It is the careless practice of sin that damns a soul, and not necessarily the presence. See, we're all sinners. The presence of sin is with us. We sin because we're sinners. But we're not careless, we who believe. We're very serious about this. We struggle and we fight and we resist and we kick and scream every bit of the way. We're totally uncomfortable with sin. This is against our new nature in Christ to be carefree about that which offends God. And the children of God in this have it harder than the children without God on the moral level, because the children without God have a sinful nature and they feed it without their conscience really bothering them. Oh, it may irritate them from time to time because they didn't do what they would like to have done for themselves, but they'll get over it. But we who believe, it's not that way. We don't get to answer our nagging, vexing flesh without the hounds of heaven being sent to our conscience. And so the New Testament is so centered in trying to tell Christians, these are the precepts of the King. These are house rules. This is how I want you to live. That beautiful fourth chapter in Ephesians, beginning in verse 17, laying out the Christian walk for us. I'll take one from Colossians 2. Colossians 2, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Gratitude in the faith is not easy to always express, because we begin to expect bigger things from God than what we get in life, and that can create a bitterness if we're not careful. No, we who believe, we have to squeeze through this life in the presence of men and in the presence of God. Think of all the things you cannot do in the name of Christ. You cannot hate somebody in Jesus' name. You cannot envy someone in the name of Jesus. We cannot abuse another person. We cannot be mean to somebody and treat them with contempt. And at the end of that behavior say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I hold you in contempt because I just don't like you. The world can do that. They can get away with that. I'm not saying they all behave that this way all the time, but they can do this. Because we are practicing righteousness. It is a distinct mark on our lives. Prohibitions and truth turn the world against us. The prohibitions that we're not to just take the second table of the Ten. Or take the first word of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other God before me. That is a prohibition. You are prohibited from creating other gods in your imagination and expecting the true God to be your friend and not judge you to an eternal hell. These prohibitions, these truths about our faith, along with Satan's goadings, they turn the world against us unless the world, those in the world, that is, turn to Christ. And what is the world? It is humanity in rejection of Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, because, Jesus said, narrow is the gate, difficult is the way, which leads to life. And there are few who find it, because they don't want it. Because when it's presented to them, they don't take it. Now, I stop and I pause there and I ask myself, where was I before I received Christ? I came that close to hell. I was headed there. And yet God reached down and saved me. I thought it would be easy to then save others. Wait till they hear this. That's not what happened. Sometimes it did, but most of the time it did not. I had to get all new friends. God brought them into my life. Practice Christianity, and sin becomes unnatural, even painful. There is no good in the old nature, and there is no power in the new nature without the Spirit of God, and the war is on. He says here in verse 10, nor is he who does not love his brother. Love is the reaction to others that God is looking for. That's a very simple definition of agape, of Christian, of spiritual love. It is the reaction to others that God wants us, or how God wants us to respond. And so if you're standing in a group and you're talking to some people and someone walks up and you don't even acknowledge them, you're not even nice and hello or anything, and just like they're not there, or you want to send some mean signal, that's not love. And there are many other ways we strike out at others because we've got our own issues. It makes us feel that we're still in power to some degree because I'm being mean to you, I'm still powerful, I'm still in control. It's a lie. You're out of control if you name Christ as Lord. Righteousness, according to John, includes love. And so he throws this in here in this verse. He says, "Then this is the children of God and the children of the devil." And then he says, he who does not love his brother is of the devil. He just throws that right in. He never gets away from it in any of his writings because he never got away from it in all of his life, because he walked with Jesus who loved him. It's critical that a Christian understands that they're loved by God no matter what is happening in this life. God still loves you. I know we become carnal without definition. Well, if you love me, why am I being treated this way if you're so sovereign? So the just live by faith. They trust beyond the circumstances and what they're denied. They trust beyond the misery, the confusion, the painful. Oftentimes the horrific, we see beyond it. That's what faith does. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love suffers long and is kind. In other words, you get no excuse because we're suffering to stop loving. I've been dealt a bad hand, so I'm going to deal a bad hand. That is bitterness. He continues, he says, love does not envy. Doesn't feel left out. Well, if you love me, how come I'm not getting what they have? So easy. And I'm not up here trying to say to you that I get it all right, and I should be saying that to you, but then I'd be getting it even more wrong. Love does not strut. He says parade itself. It does not walk around drawing attention to itself. That's what a parade does. A parade draws your attention. It goes out of its way to do that very thing. I'm not saying it's wrong. Love is not puffed up. I am better than you. You're smaller than me. Even if it's not true, I want everybody to think it's true. Love suffers, still kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up. So Paul, John, Peter, all of them are saying the same thing. Peter comes along, he says, we got this precious faith. Because of love. All you have to do, if you read the 13th chapter of Corinthians and you exchange the word love for Jesus, you get a better understanding, maybe, of his character, how he looked to the men that met him, walked with him. But if you want to deflate your own high-minded opinion of yourself, should you have one, put your name there, wherever the name love shows up. Rick suffers long, yes. And is kind. I'm trying. Rick does not envy. Well, it depends on what it is. Rick does not parade himself. When I had hair, I did. Rick is not puffed up. If you continue reading that chapter, you'll find stingers throughout. Well, we need to move to verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. You can almost get tired of hearing it in the New Testament. Oh, here he goes again with the love deal. But what are you without it? It's the main ingredient. Bake a cake without butter. Offer desserts without sugars. I don't mean these new sugars that are nasty, that some of you try to insist they're not. Well, you get used to it. No, they're nothing like the sugar cane. Anyway, okay. That's for another message when we talk about food fighters. Because what is it about us? We get so offended if somebody doesn't like the food we like. If I tell you I hate bananas and you like bananas, you go bananas. So, oh, what, you don't like them? I just said that. We're just messed up that way. But we should know it and be ready for it. Just don't go messing with the foods I like. There's only eight of them. So anyway, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. That sinless life of Christ, that sacrificial death, that miraculous resurrection. Human philosophy, human self-righteousness cannot match it, cannot come close. They reject it. I believe if Christ permitted sin without restraint, they would love him, as they do with, you know, Buddha and all the rest of them. As long as they don't convict me, I'm fine with them. Live and let live. But Christ comes along, and he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Thou shalt not sin, violate the commandments of God. Jesus gave the message, John is saying here, for this is the message. He gave this message to his saints. He commissioned them. We have it in Matthew 28:19-20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. We have it in Mark 16, go into the world, making disciples. New believers, we are to conform to what God says. You know what God told the prophet Jeremiah? Don't go chasing them. Let them come to you. You do not conform your message to win people. They conform to the message or it's no deal. Jeremiah 15:19, if you must look it up. Everybody should be looking down, writing Jeremiah 15:19. Some wise guy says, no, I'll listen to the message again. No, you won't. Maybe you will. All right. Without love, what do we get? Why is it stressed so much? We get a picture in Genesis of what it's like on earth when there is just no love. Noah, the second father, brought a different personality, gave humanity a better chance just according to the natural man. Genesis 6, though, before that, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. That them, it stands through them. I mentioned before, General Patton had written a letter, and in his letter, because he was, you know, he had a lot of enemies on his side. And he knew it, political enemies. They just could not stand a man that could conquer and didn't care for politics. And so he writes in his letter, they, them. And he doesn't mention who they are, but the reader understands, knows who it is. And so here God is saying, the earth was filled with violence through them. And it behooves the individual to say, I'm not one of them. I am not the child of the devil. I am not in that camp. I may struggle, I may fall, but I do not believe sin is good for me ever. Man needs to be told what is right. God does not say, you know what, I'll let you figure it out. Man needs to be told what is wrong, and he needs to be told how to get right and stay right. And so we have all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness. Verse 12, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. The first known man who was also the first known murderer, who was also the founder of the world's first false religion, is Cain. They go together. Murder and false beliefs about God. Harm, violence, destruction belongs to false religions. That's why God is so hateful of those things. And so the world's first false religion was based on what? Good works and self-effort and human merit. That's the difference between Cain's offering and Abel's offering. His brother Abel brings the blood of the lamb. Says this is a sacrificial, it is a substitute. I am guilty. It should be my blood, my judgment. But you have allowed me to bring a substitute. It was prophetic. We know it as Calvary, Golgotha, the place of the cross. It was speaking of a day when there would be a substitute, a sacrifice by God to make atonement, to bring peace between man and God. All of the Jewish offerings, they were called coverings, kofar in the Hebrew. They only covered the sin. When John the Baptist pointed to Jesus Christ and told his disciples, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin. He doesn't cover it, he removes it. And so contrary to the revealed truth, Cain killed his brother. What was Abel? It doesn't sound right because his name is Abel. He's Abel. Sorry. What was Abel doing that caused his brother to go against him so violently? What righteous act was he doing? He lived according to God's definition of faith in the face of everyone else, regardless of what they were doing. Abel didn't say, yeah, you know what, I know, God, you got a bad deal. You brought your little fruit basket, you worked so hard. I saw you out there, you know, tilling the ground, watering it, and then getting your basket weaved and bringing all this stuff to God. And he tells you, no good. I'm with you. Abel doesn't do that. Abel brings his offering and goes, you know what you should have done, and you chose not to do it. So Cain, did he show his brother love when he slew him? Interesting, the righteous Abel did not slay the wicked Cain. It was the other way around. Not the single act of violence that worked so much against Cain as it was his rejection of God's way, which means everything to God. Because what do you get with the people? If you're God, what do you get from a person who says, I have no interest and doing what you say. I'm not bothered by doing opposite of what you say. What would happen if you had a little 7-year-old stand up and say, I don't care, Dad, what you think I should or should not do. Well, he would be hard to talk over the knee. The rod would not be spared. But why do people think they can pull this kind of stunt with God and call it intellectual? Think that it's cute. They've created this system that they love so much. How dare you Christians stand against them? You do not have their credentials. You're not on their level to disagree with them. And then when one of their own becomes saved, what do? They vilify them, alienate them, say that they've become archaic. They do anything but say, maybe there's a better way. Maybe there is a Savior, a God who loves us so much that is using this life as a proving ground for who will side with him and who will not. And so we receive Christ's way of salvation and we reject every other way. And for this, the world will not forgive us. The world will not forgive us for preaching Jesus Christ alone. They will hold it against us to their destruction.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference is a ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. If you'd like to learn more about this ministry, we invite you to visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. You'll find a number of teachings from Pastor Rick available there. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. When you subscribe, you'll be notified of new editions of Cross Reference Radio. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app store. You can also follow the links at crossreferenceradio.com. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. Tune in next time to continue learning from the book of 1 John with Pastor Rick, right here on Cross Reference Radio.